1 Corinthians chapter number 7 and Matthew chapter 5. And so finishing up tonight, looking at holiness. And so we've been looking at holiness in several different aspects of our life. We've been looking at holiness of the heart, looking at holiness of the mind. We looked at over 2 weeks how we are to have holy mind, holy thought life. But now we're going to deal with some externals. Been dealing with some internal things. But we're going to be dealing with what comes out. Because if we have a pure heart and we have a pure mind, and then we're going to have pure actions that come out. But if our hearts are not holy and our minds are not holy, then there's going to be things that come out of our mouth and we do with our hands and where we go with our feet are not going to be holy. Jesus talked about that with the Pharisees and said, talking about it's not what a man eats that defiles him, what just eating that, whether it's unclean meat, but what comes out of the heart of man, which is adulteries, fornications, lying, all kinds of things like that. That is what defiles a man. Is Mike doing that again? Had to do it right before Easter Sunday, didn't it? All right. Oh, is the AC? Okay. AC is squealing. Okay. All right, so apologize for that. But Matthew chapter 5, so let's look over there. Let's all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to be looking at the need for pure actions. The need for pure actions. Matthew 5 and verse number 8 tonight. Matthew 5 verse number 8, part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Keep that in mind. Now we're going to look at an application of this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, and a problem that was going on in the Corinthian church, and Paul was addressing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Actually, Paul wasn't dealing with it. God was dealing with it. And right here is a warning and how marriage is supposed to work. One of the things that has become so messed up in America is marriage. What marriage is, what marriage isn't, all of those things. But God has defined marriage, and God knows what is supposed to be, what marriage is supposed to be. It's an ordinance that, an establishment that He established. But right here in verse number 1, we see, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." We continue on through the passage. It talks about the purity of marriage and the purity of that relationship and how we're to abstain from impure things, immorality. And that is that's just one example of how unholy thinking and having an impure heart can lead to impure actions. But if we have that pure heart, we shall see God work. Let's look at that tonight. But first, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless us, Lord, and that you would encourage us tonight. And that you would challenge us, Lord, to look at our lives, to look at our hearts, to look at our minds, to ask ourselves the hard questions. And Lord, that we be honest with ourselves. And Lord, that we be honest with you. For Lord, you show us where the rough patches are. You show us where we need to be more holy. You show us, Lord, where we need to stand strong, where we need to change things and where we need to do some things and then not do some things. Whatever the case may be tonight, Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open, that our minds will be open, and Lord, that our attitude would be that we would do whatever you would require in your word to please you, dear Lord, because we love you. Pray that you bless us and help us tonight. Guide me and give me the words to say this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The need for pure actions. So we've looked at the heart, we looked at the mind. Now let's look at our actions. You can tell a lot by what someone does. You can tell a lot by what someone says. And sometimes we can learn a lot by what they don't say. It's more often than not that when we are out in the world, if we're a Christian person and we have the proper testimony, the world notices mostly what we don't say. That we don't curse and that we don't talk dirty and that we don't talk with corrupt communication, but that we speak in kindness, we speak in purity, we don't say the things that they say, we don't talk about the things they talk about, we talk about the things of God, they talk about the things of sin in this world, and we talk about the things of God, we talk about the Bible, and that there's some differences there. And every Christian has a testimony. Every person has a testimony. That means that everybody knows and sees what you're doing and will take a judgment away from that. Something that's going on a lot in our world and that has been in every culture is that, well, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. You see t-shirts like that. Only God can judge me. And I said, what about that passage, Pastor, in Matthew 5? Judge not that you be not judged. True, are we to judge people with our own judgment? Why? Because we get things wrong. Because we don't know what. We don't have the end from the beginning, but what do? We judge things by God's word. God has already judged things. And you know, when you go out and you have walk in front of somebody, you can look and see by what you wear or how you act, it communicates something about you. If you see a person walking down the street in a full suit, which you don't see very often anymore, with the advent of business casual in a lot of places and even in high-level IT workplace, you know, wearing a pair of jeans and a polo shirt is acceptable. But if you see someone in a shirt and a tie and looking professional, say, hey, they must be a banker, they must be a lawyer, they must be a doctor, they must be somebody. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a hospital making a hospital visit. It's even happened when Timothy was born. I was down in Austin Hospital. I was wearing a pair of khakis like I am now. I was wearing a nice shirt, and I had a bag over my shoulder. Had about three people say, hey, doctor. You know why? Because what I was wearing communicates them. So I'm not a doctor. My wife's a patient here. Like, oh, okay. You know, they wanted something done. And so what we do and what we say and how we appear communicates something about us. And as a Christian, the first thing, if we're taking notes tonight, number one, every Christian should be above reproach. Every Christian's actions should be above reproach. So reproach is defined as this: shame, infamy, or disgrace. That we're not to be reproached in the name of Christ. Our testimony is to glorify Christ and to give praise to Him. And so there are things, and you know, there's something about infamy. So what does infamy mean, Pastor? What infamy means is that you see that person coming, you don't want to talk to them because they're always the person that has the little rain cloud over them or something. You know, there's something about them that, oh, we know something about them as a negative thing. Our passage in Corinthians clearly shows us the need for purity in our actions. Looked at 1 Corinthians 7, especially in the area of our relationships. And so the word touch that we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, is it's not good for man to touch a woman. That word touch means has the idea of inflammation of desire. And it's not good. So we need to have actions that are above reproach. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about this. Proverbs 6 and verses 26 through 29. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 through 29 says this: for by a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go out upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. So here, toucheth has the same idea here, in that maybe, well, I'm not going to, you know, touch a woman. That's what we, many times we hear that standard and we hear that given. But why? Because it's perfectly acceptable for gentlemen to touch their wife, put their arm around their wife, or hold the hand of their wife. But what the God Bible's saying here is that if someone who is not your wife or is not a family member, you shouldn't do it. It's not good. But we hear to that today as a pastor, that's extreme. Pastor, that's yesterday's news. That's cultural. Bible says it's not good for a man. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. So it need to have those standards of things. You know, that's why when we have our Sunday school teachers or we have our workers in the church, one of the standards, which has always been for many years, has been, you know, hey, if you're here at church, you know, you're not to be hugging on, if you're a lady, be hugging on the guys, or if you're a lady hugging on the ladies. Why? Because, first of all, it puts questions in people's minds. It puts a question. But also, the Bible says it's not a good thing. So every person should have a standard in regards to interactions with people of the opposite sex. Every single person, every married person. Married men don't need to be hugging on other women. Now, your mother or your sister or some family member is fine, but in a married woman, you don't need to be hugging on other men. Single men and women don't need to be hugging on one another. No need for boys and girls to be holding hands, kissing, hugging one another. Save that for the marriage altar. Amen? Amen. And guess what? Today, if you preach that in a lot of churches, you say, man, you're crazy. But it's true. We need to set some standards of things. Because is it possible to have a hug or shake a hand in purity of thought and mind? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. But you don't want to give place to the devil. You don't want to do that. So, Pastor, we can't shake hands in church. I didn't say that. We can shake hands in church. And by the way, gentlemen, ready to hear a piece of etiquette? Ready for this? That you're not to shake a lady's hand unless she extends it to you first. Because some ladies aren't comfortable shaking men's hands. Did you know that? I learned that a long time ago. My wife reminded me of that not too long ago. And, you know, just kind of in our culture, a lot of people don't know that. But especially if it's an older lady and she doesn't extend her hand, then you don't shake hers. You don't extend yours out and make it kind of awkward there. That's just a little piece of etiquette for free. So store that away. Hey, maybe you impress a girl with that someday. You never know. But save that. But we need to be careful about those things. Have some purity in our standards. We need to love good and hate evil. Amos 5:15, book of Amos and the minor prophets in your Old Testament. Look over there. Amos 5 and verse 15. Need to have some holiness about us. And if our holy thoughts and having a pure heart before God, then we're going to have actions. We're going to do things. We're going to set some boundaries to maintain that. We're going to be concerned about pleasing God with what we think and what's in our heart. So by doing that, a lot of people have this idea about standards. Well, I do this, so this is where I can't go. And people dwell on what they can't do. But really, the purpose of standards, we have it backwards. The purpose of standards, we do it not to make our hearts and our minds right. We do it to keep them that way. That's the reason we have standards. We have it backwards. Many times we say, well, my mind is thinking about the wrong things. My heart is desiring the wrong things. So I will make this standard so it does it. You can make standards all day long and boundaries all day long. It won't change your desires. Amen? Not going to change that. You're still going to have them. You're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. But the problem is we need to fix the problem, fix what's going on in the heart, fix what's going on in the mind. And then boundaries so you don't get going in that direction again. That's the purpose of standards. That's the purpose of boundaries in our conduct. Boundaries in what we allow into our mind. Boundaries what we allow into our heart. Many times you get it backwards. Well, this is just to keep me restrained. No, we do it to keep our minds and our hearts pure. If we follow this genuine desire from our heart to be pure indeed in heart, then we will see God work. According to Matthew 5:8, we shall see God. We'll see God in a way we haven't seen him before. We will see God's work every single day. We'll have God's peace in our heart. We talked on Sunday night about a joy and power to serve. We'll see God do something if we place ourselves within the boundaries of his holiness and place ourselves in the boundaries of God's word, then we are in a place of blessing. We are on blessing ground. And God wants that for every Christian. So, first, we see every Christian's action should be above reproach. Second, every Christian's appearance should be above reproach. Remember, clothing, what we wear, communicates something about you. It communicates something. And if you go to ask some people, oh, my clothes are neutral. They don't communicate anything about me. But if you go to Nike or if you go to Reebok or you go to Adidas, you go to any of these big manufacturers, and you ask them this question, are you trying to communicate something with the clothing that you make? You know what they're all going to say? Absolutely yes. We are trying to communicate something to our buyers, and when our buyers put it on, they are trying to communicate that message. Powerful statement, isn't it? What we wear communicates to people. And I know modesty is a hot topic today. Doesn't change what's written in God's word. Look at 1 Timothy 2:9. And that we're to have the modesty, not only women, but men as well. And that's something that really is, we're losing that. 1 Timothy 2:9 and the importance of that. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. so that ladies are to dress in a way and to adorn themselves in a way that communicates that they are a child of God, that they are a daughter of the King. That's how they're to dress and how they're to communicate. And by the way, you can be wearing something that is a dress that's down past your knees and is as modest on up top and has the sleeves on it and everything, but what you wear in jewelry or what you wear in other things makes you immodest, or the makeup that you wear makes you immodest, or the hairdo that you have is so flamboyant makes you immodest. That's something that's not being really taught on a lot today. That if it's over the top and the purpose is to draw attention to me, and that's what shamefacedness is, to direct things away from me. To direct things to, because it's a double command here. Look there at verse number 9. I taught on this in Sunday school about a couple months ago. But I want to bring out a couple things. Adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety and shamefacedness go together. It's actually a double. Shamefacedness is being extra careful, to be modest, but then shamefacedness takes it a step further, an extra step of modesty to really make sure. And we hear all the time, how close can we get to the line with dress? Where is the line? How short is too short? How tight is too tight? What's this? Or what is too this? Or what is not too much this? I think that's really the wrong question. That's the wrong question. And by that statement right there, that shows a wrong attitude and a wrong heart and a wrong thinking. Instead, it should this be longer? Should this be looser? Should I look less or should I look more modest? Because I don't want to offend my God. Remember, you're not dressing for everybody else. You're dressing for God. Not only the ladies, but the gentlemen are too. There's no need for the ladies, there's no need to show off your body. Your body is for your husband or husband-to-be. No need for short skirts. Exodus 28:42 talks about the thigh is nakedness. That's all through the Bible. No need for tight blouses, low necklines, flashy jewelry. God cares about what we wear. But for the men, you don't need to be out swimming with your shirt off for all the girls. And unfortunately, today, men to lust after you, no need for that. You know, short shorts are coming back in. I noticed that. Like way up here and everything. I was at the tire place and walked in there. I'm like, man, you know, I don't know how you got into those things, but, you know, I'm just like, man, it's like walking in your underwear. But you know what? That's not modest. But a lot of times the men like, well, I can do whatever I want. There's the ladies that need to be modest, but guys can do whatever. That's not true. You don't need to wear tight clothes to show off your figure. You don't need a tight shirt to everyone to see how many muscles or lack thereof you have. That's not for the whole world to see. The whole world doesn't need to know you have biceps. We all have them. You don't need to do that to show off, because whatever we do to show off is wrong in sin. It's pride. Anything we do to show off me, look at what I can do, look how good I am, hey, look at me over here. Instead, what we wear is to communicate, look at him. Look at the Savior who saved me by his grace. Look at the Savior who shed his blood for me. I am nothing, I don't deserve anything, but he deserves all praise and glory and honor because of what he has done for me. That's what your clothing communicates. And every Christian's appearance should be above reproach. Every Christian's action should be above reproach, and that brings us to number 3. Every Christian should have a desire to see God. To see God. So, Pastor, what do you mean to see God? We can't see God. I understand that, but there's a reason why in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What is that talking about? Well, yes, it's true that we need to have a pure and right heart before God when we get saved, that we're not doing it for our own selfish purposes, but that we're doing it out of a contriteness and a brokenness before God to save us from our sin because he loves us, and you need to have a pure heart, or else if you didn't do it if you did it for some other motivation, fire insurance or things like that, well, I just want to keep my sin. I just don't want to go to hell because of my sin. That's not a pure heart. You're not going to see God in the end. Well, I was very clear about that. But what is it talking about here? There's a lot of things we can apply it in this way, but we can see God every single day. We can see God every single day. As a pastor, what are you talking about? We can't see God. No one can see God and live. I understand that. But we can see the work of God every single day. If you're married in here and you have kids tonight, you know, when you wake up every single day and your kids sit around the breakfast table or you see them, you can point there and say, I see God. I see God in my children. I see God. God gave me those children. God brought them into being. God, the miracle of life, we can see God in that. We can see God. We have to take our Bible out and we can see God just by having the Bible. Then we can open it and see the mind of God and understand it. And we can pray and we can communicate and see God. We can see God work in our life by bringing blessing after blessing after blessing. By the way, anything that good that happens to you that is good, you better give God the praise because you didn't do it. Amen. Oh, we get so caught up in things, we forget totally that God did it. We forget that God did that. We also forget that God brings some difficulties into our life. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen. You know, some days don't go so well. You know, yesterday, you know, working on things, if any of you have worked in anything mechanical, you know just things don't go well sometimes. And the more you get into it, the more you find it's broken. And is there ever going to be an end? When we get to heaven, there'll be an end of all that. There's not going to be any, there's going to be no broken doorknobs in heaven. There's going to be no church vans in heaven. But anyway, those things, we can see that. Say, look, God's not doing anything, but do you see that God is bringing those things into your life because he wants you to learn something? Maybe he wants you to trust him. Maybe he wants you to be patient. Maybe he wants you to do something for him. Maybe he wants to redirect your attention because many times in adversity, we need to go to God. And God brings adversity into our life. That's what Paul said, is that I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That Christ may work through me. That Christ be real to me and that I'll see God. But only if we have a pure heart. Only if we have a pure mind. Only if we have pure actions. So we've gone over this last several weeks. Let's bring it all back in and close it down for tonight. Where are you in the area of holiness? Where are you in this area of holiness? Are you saying, well, I don't think it's that big a deal? Well, we already learned that it's a big deal. We already learned that it's a big deal. What we do have to understand is that it's a big deal to God because he said, be holy for I am holy. Be holy for I am holy. That's not a suggestion. That is not anything less but a command. This is what I expect out of you. This is what I expected out of my people, the Hebrews. And then God repeated it to us again. So this is what I expect out of the Gentiles as well. What I expect out of the church. To be holy, to wash it by the water of the word, to present it to himself a holy church without spot or wrinkle. A pure church. So God is concerned about your heart. God is concerned about your mind. God is concerned about your actions. God is concerned about what you wear. God is concerned about where you go. God is concerned about what you say. God is concerned about all of that. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to say, well, Pastor, this has been a great series. I have learned a lot. Learning does us no good unless we apply it. Need to apply what we learn. We learn a lot in churches today, but not a lot of applying goes on. I'll never forget this. As I was talking to Brother Florence today, and we were talking about, he was talking about his Bible Institute and things, and brought to my mind what Pastor Vellante, his missionary in Ghana, told me. And he stood next to me. This is rung in my mind. I mentioned it not too long ago. I'll mention it again. And I'll keep mentioning it, by the way, because I think it's important for us to see. He goes, you've done 1 year or 2 years in Bible college. He goes, you, yourself, and also most people in churches in America have more Bible knowledge than most of the world will have in a lifetime. and he asked me a question, what are you going to do with it? He says, unfortunately, most people waste it. They waste the knowledge. They don't use it to lead others to Christ. They don't use it to disciple others in Christ. They don't use it for anything except I learned something. And something we have to be careful of is knowledge for the sake of knowledge. There was somebody in college that I knew, and he was almost 30 years old. He had been at college, 10 or 12 years. He had earned 4 undergraduate degrees, and 3, he was working on his 3rd master's degree. And then he was just going to go for some more. He was a professional student. And none of these things, he had no plan for it. He says, I just was interested and decided to do it. He was just wanted to learn. And he was just there. I said, what are you going to do with it? I don't know, nothing. Are you going to go plant a church? No. You going to go teach somewhere? No. I don't know. I think I'm just going to stay here and learn some more. That's great. But if you don't use it, it's all a waste. Can't you take it with you to the grave? You can't pass it on from there. But what are we going to do with the knowledge that we have? Are we going to apply it? Because if we apply it in our life, then we'll be able to reach others and help them apply it in theirs. Do we have pure actions? Do we have a pure heart? Do we have a pure mind? Hopefully we've learned some things, maybe some boundaries to set for ourselves to where we so that we can maintain that. Remember, standards are not to change what's inside because they won't. But we make standards to keep what has changed on the inside, to keep it that way, to keep it pure, to keep it where you're supposed to be. Because you can have standards from now to the day you die, but if your heart's never right, eventually, if your heart's not right or your mind's not right, you eventually give them up. Oh, they don't work. But no, you set them up after God has dealt and purified your mind and your heart as to guard against turning them back to the way they were. So maybe there's some standards we need to set up tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you be with us in this invitation time. And Lord, perhaps there's some areas of our life that you've spoken to us about. Maybe some areas that we're fighting. Maybe some areas that we're just trying to fight against. To kick against the pricks of your Holy Spirit's convicting. The pricks of conscience. And Lord, I pray that we would just be humble, that we would admit the sin, and Lord, that you'd purify what's on the inside so what is on the outside can be pure. Lord, you desire this for all of us. I pray that you would guide us and help us in that and bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed as we rise to our feet tonight as we come to our invitation time. What are we going to do with what we have heard over the last several weeks? Are we going to store it away as a pastor? That's some great knowledge I have now. Or are we going to apply it? Are we going to say, Lord, help me to live by what I have learned. Lord, I need some changes here. Lord, I'm convicted here. Lord, I need to change this here. Lord, I need to set up this standard here. I want to be pure before you. If that's our desire, then let the Lord speak to us tonight and let's respond this evening.